Bible study time. Praise God. Here we go. Let's open our Bibles to Revelation 19. And last couple Wednesday nights here in 19, it's been quite a journey. We began in 19 with the destruction of Babylon. Praise be to God. I don't know about you, but I'm getting tired of this system. I'm getting tired of this mystery of iniquity that's working, been working for a long time since the enemy was cast out of heaven. And it's been here and it's here. And the evil of man is growing worse and worse. And that's what it is. But, praise the Lord, that was dealt with. Gone. And there was something that the whole focus of heaven was wanting to get to. And we saw that in verse 7, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Praise God, I pray that we're looking and longing for that day. You think about that stunning moment that all heaven awaits for. The glory that completes him. Unveiled, praise God, to the whole family of God. Isn't that wonderful? You think that the church will be there, praise God. Those in the church, as guests, will be there to see the bride, yes, the wife, and the husband at that wondrous supper. And you think about that as humans. There's nothing more sweet than we have these celebrations of these different weddings. I hear of ones. We have one that's, God willing, if the Lord tarry, would come into our family. And that groom will make known that he has loved her. Praise the Lord. And I thank God that his grace enables us and causes us to have him will and do of that good pleasure for him, the good pleasure of his will, to be completely fulfilled in our lives for him. Praise his name. But now we're off to another glorious scene. Babylon's gone. We've had the marriage supper. But as we read, if you remember when we studied in the Song of Solomon, all the back and forth of the lovers, but after she was completely smitten, and after, again, it speaks of truly a wedding and all those things, and after all of the celebration and the feast, she says, let's get down to the field. And brothers and sisters, believe it or not, they're going to get down to the field, that husband and wife, and they're going to get down to the field with the armies of heaven. And down to that field, there's going to be a great wine press. And I believe down to that field is the beginning of a honeymoon. Kind of a strange thought for mankind. But God's ways aren't man's ways, and God's thoughts aren't man's thoughts. And I thank the Lord, praise God. You know, it's how do you perceive the truth? Where do you see these events happening from? Because if you're looking at this from earth, it's going to be the most horrendous, the most fearful, the most anguish that you could ever imagine. But if you are looking from heaven, it can only be the most glorious when the world and all of its wickedness will be judged by the righteous judge along with all of his saints in glory. Praise God! I do not like to see the children of God hurt and persecuted. I do not like to see that, to see it. I do know, though, it requires the suffering to reign. I do understand it's a glorious thing to suffer for his name's sake. Amen. Praise God. Happy are we. But I'm sure going to be happy when all glory, honor, praise, thanksgiving, and then when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess, oh, that Jesus your Lord, praise God. I think you can tell I'm getting a little tired of it too. Praise God. So, let's get to verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. This is a beautiful event because God here is presenting his son as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's such a precious thing to even receive, in a sense, in a type, as a dad. The swelling adoration when your son would receive something, when your child receives something. Nothing to be compared to this, but, you know, our Father is a tender Father. Our Father is such a loving Father. And our Father, everything about Him is in His Son. And I thank God for this day. I thank God for the joy of the Godhead at this moment. Jesus is right then receiving, in a sense, that it is making known that He has all authority. But know this, brothers and sisters, know this for our lives and to who our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "Thou hast," see, it's already been done, "put all things in subjection under His feet. For in that He put all in subjection under Him, He left nothing that is not put under Him. But now we see not yet all things put under Him." See, it's done and it's finished, praise God. That victory has been won. But here is when it is made known, it is evident, the beginning of it, that all things are put under My Son. It's going to be revealed in its fullness. And here we see Him on the white horse, and I love that. This speaks of all power. This speaks of strength. It speaks of virtue, the captain of our salvation. Sweet Brother David, he spoke of this so sweetly in Psalm 45, verses 4 through 6. It says, "And in Thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness." See, He rides. "And Thy right hand shall teach Thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under Thee. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Thy scepter of Thy kingdom is a right scepter." Praise the Lord. I thank God that the wonderful psalmist David, the man after God's own heart, he was rejoicing of this time. Praise God. In prophecy, God speaking through this precious vessel that this was and is to be. And I have to tell you, I sure love our bridegroom. So faithful and true is He. Isn't that a wonderful spouse? Faithful and true. Altogether lovely. The virtuous one. The pure one. The one who is, there's no confusion. There is no doubt. The spouse, praise God, our Savior, who we now can place all confidence in Him. All confidence. Do you place all confidence in the Word of God? I pray that we do, brothers and sisters, and I pray that we're quick to believing God, not slow to believe, but quick. Thank You, Lord, and thank God that we have these infirmities. Thank God, yes, for when we don't make the right decision. God minds in those things. The time of great grace in its ministry can only be received sometimes in the greatest failures of our life. But don't think that's ever going to come from you. That's because of the grace of God that is with you and the mercy of the Lord, praise God. And that wonderful thankfulness as we began today to thank the Father for giving us everything and giving us His beautiful, beloved, and only begotten Son, Jesus. So we thank Him for this. But this is wonderful here, because notice, our Lord's war is not in anger. It's not to obtain something. You think about wars and things of that nature. There's always political reasons. There's always land to acquire. There's always riches to gain. It's always something of man. Oh no, this war is in righteousness. And He judges in righteousness. And He makes war in His righteousness. And I love this, because what a time it will be. Because all glory will be given to the righteous one who destroys all the wickedness from the face of the earth. Verse 12. His eyes were as a flame of fire. On His head were many crowns. And He had a name written that no man knew but He Himself. Now I love this, and we were just speaking of this a moment ago. His eyes were as a flame of fire. Now, this is the one with the dove's eyes, the gentle eyes, those eyes, praise God. Well, I'll tell you what, very God of very God, when all power is turned over to him, it's coming with feet of brass and eyes of fire. This is a righteous judgment. And we will glory, and I glory now, praise God, because I see in spirit myself in that time with him. Hallelujah. I rejoice in this. This will come. This isn't an if. This is the absolute of when it will be. Praise our Lord. But brothers and sisters, this eyes of flame, if you go back to chapter 2 of Revelation, this was spoken of to the church of Thyatira. If you remember the church of Thyatira, those are the five foolish virgins. It's that church. And it's that church that's being dealt with truly at this time of the last part of the tribulation. Because we know that the 144,000 represents the five wise virgins. And those 144,000 are caught away, the last company that's caught away into heaven. They will be at the marriage supper. The five foolish virgins, those of the church of Thyatira, they will go on into the tribulation time. They'll go on into the great tribulation time, is more appropriately said there, into that last 3.5 years. Those will be the ones that there will be many that will be killed at that time. They'll be beheaded. They'll be destroyed again by the great harlot Babylon, who was destroyed. Obviously, we thank God for that. There will also be of those that will live through the millennium, that will go on in, and we'll read about them in the next chapter. And they'll reign with God upon the earth. And I was rejoicing in that. You think about it. Even the foolish Christians get a reign. Isn't that amazing? I don't want to be a fool in that. Hallelujah. I want to be seated in the midst of the throne, glory with him, ruling and reigning. Hallelujah. With him. But I think of the mercy of our Lord. And that is true. Think about your own life. It's nothing but the wonderful writings of the mercy of the Lord. Amen. Aren't you thankful you know that? I'm so grateful to God. But see, this is this wonderful judgment that has come forth. But you think about as he spoke there to the church of Thyatira. He said, you come on out of them. Because I'm the one with these eyes of fire. I'm the judge. And it's coming down, and you're either going to believe or you're going to enter into that eternal judgment. And this is where this is at, because we know that Jesus Christ is taking the throne as God. He is now the judge, all authority, King of kings, Lord of lords. It says all crowns, those many crowns are up on his head. See, there's no power but of him, but there's something even more special about these crowns that the Lord has encouraged me to speak on tonight. This word crowns, it specifically means an ornament upon a head. The ornament upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, I love that because he talks about that the woman is the glory of man. These many crowns, praise God, I believe very fully that this crowning or the ornament of him, this is his wife. This is his bride. She's with him in this. Praise God. We've been reading about this the whole time in different types and shadows and the way it is. But now she's seen as the adornment of him. She's his glory. Amen. Amen. We're going to again read about it not too long from now. Descending from heaven, having the glory of God. She is, praise God, that wonderful adornment of the city. She's clothed, right, with the righteousness of saints. That's her gown. Praise God. And we thank the Lord for this wonderful glory of his grace that we can receive to be this adorning to him. Now, think about the crowns. These are the ones that, as the Apostle Paul said, not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. See, that's holding fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. These are these crowned ones. Hallelujah. That crown, if you remember back there in 2 Timothy 2:4, that's the exalted rank of righteousness. That's what that crown is, that crown of righteousness. It's an exalted rank. We are, every child of God is righteous, but will we grow in that righteousness? will we have that righteousness just be such a glowing and magnificent growth of a mature Son of God in our lives? These are those that will take this place. And I thank God, as it says here, he has a name that only he knew, not the earth that would know. But I'm going to tell you this as well. We know that the saints will know this with him, that all authority has been given to him, that yes, he is King of Kings. Yes, he is Lord of Lords. And my favorite name of all, he's Bridegroom. And that's the best part of it all. But see, the world, they don't give it anything. They don't want to know. But I'll tell you what, when they knew he was God, they did not give him glory. Let me tell you something. They're without excuse. So we go with the word of God in that. All right, verse 13. And he was clothed with the vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. So we're so thankful if there was any doubt who this is speaking of, this is Jesus. He's the Word. Hallelujah. We know this. John spoke of it, and we're grateful to God. And here's John again writing of it. Isn't that something? So he's clothed with blood. That means everything about him is the blood. The whole magnificence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the blood. Because all power is in the blood. The life is in the blood. The victory is in the blood. The all-powerful Lamb of God. Without the shedding of blood, the Word of God tells us, there is no remission of sin. Why is it, if you think about this, why is it that the majority of Christian churches today have taken out those songs that had the word blood in them? Because the enemy knows if he can get you out of thinking and out of praising him for his blood, you'll miss it. You'll miss the cross. You miss the cross without the shedding of blood. It was the blood that was shed. It's the blood that cleanses. It's the blood that's the atonement. It's the blood, praise God, that was on those posts. Passover. Amen? It was because of the blood. It wasn't anything else. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And we thank God. Again, it's the grace of God. It wasn't anything that he asked them to do. And think about this. Over and over think about this. Because the enemy's just there to attack you 24/7. Trying to get you to somehow go in your strength and in your might. Your goodness. And let me tell you something. It won't separate you from the camp. It'll bring you right back into the camp. Because that's where the camp is. The camp is looking at what they do. They're glorying in their works. That's what the camp does. But those that go without the camp, it's only one thing they're going to. That's to Jesus. Everything, every strength, every bit, every fiber. Praise God, is praise and glory to him. Any goodness in me, any choice, praise God, that caused me to yield to him, was the grace of God that is with me. Praise his name. When we begin to praise him for that, that's the love. And God's even shown us this, even in studies, even in human beings. Children that truly are loved, they respond, they grow. Children that aren't loved, there's much hurt. They know that there's a lot more problems that possibly will be in that life. There'll be a lot more events of anger, a lot of different things. But God, there's still a Father, hallelujah. And I thank the Lord for that. Always know it. Always know it. I thank the Lord because he showed that with my dad. And I'm thanking God every day. Greatest natural dad. And yes, I am biased. He's my dad. But he didn't really have a dad. He loved him. But he knew that he didn't operate as the dad that he needed to be in his home. Who does that? God. So we thank the Lord for these things. Praise his name. But he's clothed in that blood. And we thank the Lord because it's all by and through the blood of Jesus. Once again, brothers and sisters, those that will attain the highest place of fellowship, yes, the bride of Christ fellowship, were shown in type and shadow the cherubim that were on the mercy seat. Those that might not understand that, the Ark of the Covenant was that wonderful ark that they would carry in. Many movies about the ark. But they don't talk about the lid on the ark very much, do they? Because they want to just talk about things. But the meaning, praise God, of that precious lid, because the lid truly, praise his name, is everything. The lid is the mercy seat. The lid, praise God, is where all the blood was shed. There's no way man could ever go into the presence of God without the blood. There was no way that man could ever go to the Father without Jesus. And we thank the Lord that out of that mercy seat, out of that covering, out of that everything about the blood, one piece of beaten gold, amen, that was the mercy seat. It wasn't pieces, it was one piece, and it was beaten. It was bruised, praise the Lord. It was molded and shaped after his perfect will. And out of that mercy seat, there became two cherubim that were grown. And over that cherub, the mercy seat, those cherubim wings would touch. Their faces, no one ever saw, because their wings covered the face. And their gaze was only and always at the blood of the mercy seat. Praise God. It never changes. We grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It was that blood, that loving, beautiful blood that was shed. It wasn't spilled. It was shed. It was poured. Hallelujah. Know that for you. Nothing came out of there willy-nilly. Purpose, divine, specific. Praise God. Oh, I love him. Hallelujah. Now, let's keep our gaze on the mercy seat till he comes. Now, they understand, these ones, they understand the depth of grace, that there is nothing of ourselves, that he has done it all, and that he performs it all in us. Amen. He said, I finished it. Praise God. T-L-E-O. It is finished. Praise his name. And then he's told us very plainly, we are his workmanship. Praise the Lord. I thank God for that. We yield to that. We believe him for that. And he performs the good work which he's begun. But he gives me that faith. Because the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loves me and gave himself for me. The Son of God who also happens to live in me. Because I don't live anymore. Christ liveth in me. Praise to Jesus. Man, I'll tell you, when it gets hard and things get tough and you don't think you can, say, thank you, Lord. I know I can't. And I thank the Lord. That's why I got a new life that does it all. Let me believe. It's just a matter of yielding to truth as opposed to stop hearing the lie. Yield to the truth. This is truth. This is who you are as a Christian. This is who you are. This is the life you live. This is the word of God. This is why, praise the Lord, you have everlasting life, because the word of the Lord abideth forever. Praise God. We are of the word. We are the body, praise God, of him. The word. It's mighty simple. Amen. And we can take this right out of Wednesday night Bible study and Thursday morning workplace. It can be just the same. Praise God. All right. Praise God. So, brothers and sisters, know this. I will tell you this real quick. I appreciate, however Christ is preached, I appreciate my brethren that love the Lord so. And I appreciate ones that write about the bridal truth. But even that, God help us to be quickened to truly, rightfully divide the truth. A brother that had written so many glorious things about the things of God, but could never get away from That last bit, and here was the proof, Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Period. Period. All right? I'm so thankful to God, I don't even remember the second part that was added in there that ain't there. And know it. And know it. And it should be crossed out the word, because it isn't part of the word if it's in the word in the Bible there that you're reading. There's a few of them that don't have it, which is correct. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. What this brother was trying to say and going on with the false that was part tagged on to that verse made the statement that, see, that means you'll be walking in the Spirit and you won't fail. Well, if that's the truth, let me just tell you something. There's never been a Christian that's walked in the Spirit. I'm going to tell you that right now. If the proof of walking in the Spirit, you will not fail, then no one could. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now, I'm not saying let's all just get in line and go try to fail. So we don't need to try. And we do not sin willfully that grace may abound. Do we get this? But brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. You are so intricate to God in those before ordained good works that you should walk therein. Many of those, hopefully not most, but many of those are bad decisions. That you look to Romans 8:28. And you don't look to it and say, oh, in a flippant way, oh, I'm thankful for the grace of God. I'm thankful for the grace of God. No, you ain't thankful for the grace of God. And there's going to be some comeuppance to that. But I'm talking about when you're really thankful for his mercy and grace. And you talk about a repentant heart, a brokenness, that I pray when we are broken like that, stay there. Don't leave that place. Don't leave that place. He's graced you to find that lowliness. He's graced you to find that place of, Lord, I'm nothing. I've been fooling myself, trying to fool other people. Thank you, Lord. And stay there. Because that place right there is right at his feet. Praise his name. We go on, even the name, the word of God, it says here in verse 13, his name is the word of God. Take a moment just to think about that. The name of our Lord, the word of God. Again, how powerful, all power, everything's in the word of God. And as it's written, heaven and earth is going to pass away. You think, again, and as I told you, I'm an outdoors person. I conserve, and I'm confident I can recycle with the best of them. But I'm going to tell you something. This is all going to pass away. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And there is, because the Bible says it's so. You know, you can say, well, I'll choose this, and I'll have that. Well, I'm just praying the one thing you choose that makes the whole difference is the blood. But you'll live such a more less confused life and a tossed to and fro life if you'll receive the whole counsel of God. You will. You'll settle down. You'll say, that's that. You'll say, he said it. That's that. I had a guy today who was going to argue with me about how the moon got there. See ya. I don't need to hear that nonsense. Oh, yeah, it was just a perfect, exact, get out of here. Oh, that insult's going to stop someday. And we're reading about that day, praise his name. But brothers and sisters, there's nothing else. Think about, again, the word of God is our life. The word of God is how we live. The word of God lives in us. Because the word of God is Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, get this. And again, as we go on here in verse 14, by the grace of God in spirit, are we living this vision of the day of the Lord with him. And I do pray we are. In verse 14, here we go. And the armies which were in heaven, they followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Now, as we've read just a moment ago, she is there with him in those crowns that are on his head. That's the bride that's with him, his wife. And the righteousness of saints, if we remember back in verse 8 of this same chapter, the righteousness of saints was her gown. But notice here, the righteousness of saints is also the armies of heaven. That's their clothing in that fine linen that is white and clean. And I want you to notice again, her white, which was back there in verse 8, where it says her fine linen, clean and white. Remember this, that white and clean in the Greek is lampros. There's only two times describing that white, lampros, upon any two things there's ever been. And that's on Jesus, and that's on his wife. And that's it. Because as we get to this white again, that is that leukos white. It's not the glorious, transparent white of Christ, in a sense, the sun glory. I'd like you to think of this as a reflected, as a moon glory. It's brilliant, it's beautiful. But it's not that within, praise God, light that is, again, of Christ in his glorious bride. So we see this difference again. But I want you to think about the amazing battle clothes of the army of heaven. We always hear about the armament that our soldiers need and have and that they need better and all of this. Well, I'll tell you what, you got the righteousness of God covering you. It's indestructible. And it is. And it's not just for someday. No, it's now. Do you understand that? Do you know not a hair of your head could be touched? Do you know truly if God appointed you, and he has, it's just that you think of it in the literal sense. I'm talking about necessarily a spiritual figurative sense. I'm talking about furnaces. I'm talking about lion's den. Amen, brother? Praise God. He does them in different ways. And sometimes it would be easier in a way to be in the presence of lions than to be in some of the things that we've been in. Amen. But we're not to compare ourselves amongst ourselves. But know these things. Praise be to God. And that's the thing that is so amazing. I still speak with people of God. Oh, I'd love to see miracles. And I just really almost want to slap them. Because it's like, do you see how God's keeping you? Do you see what God's done for you? Have you looked at what God has done in your children or what God has done in your household? Oh my goodness, you should have been dead over and over and over. And it wasn't just one lion's den. You had you had the lion's pride in there. You had all this stuff going on in there, and God kept you. But we don't want to see it, do we? Amen? Come on. And this is why we need to know the ways of God and thank him for this. But this is the righteousness of God, indestructible, and know it that it is for us right now. You, me, we have been made that in Christ for him. I love that about that righteousness. We have been made that righteousness of God for him. And we've been made what he loves. That's the most beautiful thing. God made us what he loved. He didn't make us anything but what he loved. And nothing can destroy it. And praise God, it's our opportunity to grow in it. So, verse 15, and out of his mouth, so again, out of the mouth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty God, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So see, brothers and sisters, again, it is all the word of God. That's that sharp sword that goeth forth out of his mouth. And remember, it's the spoken word. Amen. Think about how the Father, again, would refer to his Son. And especially when Peter and them were out there going to make the three tabernacles, to the two to the prophets and one to Jesus. And he had to slam them down right there, and he says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. The word of the Lord, the spoken word of God. And here it is, out of his mouth comes that wonderful word of God that destroys them all. Do you know that for your life once again? Let him speak the word of God through you. Amen? Praise God. Believe it. Praise him for it. Thank you, Jesus, for the infilling of the Holy Ghost to be able to even speak mysteries back to the Father. And I'm telling you once again, those mysteries, it's only going to be the word of God, because that's all that the Father is about, is his Son. Thank you, Lord, that we can be in that realm and in that zone, praise God, of that fellowship of the word of God. So it's the all-powerful word that destroys every foe, and not just for someday, for right now. By faith. It's never changed. Jesus Christ, the Word, the same yesterday, today, and forever. It doesn't get more powerful later on. It's all powerful right now. He has been given all power already, amen? It's just that we haven't seen it, in a sense, in its fullness of revealing. There's be no powers but of God. I am that I am. He holds the hearts of the kings in his hands. He moves them like he moves the rivers. I love that. Praise the Lord. Can we not have that faith? Because we have been given that faith. The faith of the Son of God. To believe that. To truly, as he went before them, he said, you don't have any power but of my Father. What are you speaking of? That's right. And know that he that touches you touches the apple of my eye. For now are we the sons of God. Praise his name. He loves us in that same love. He receives us in the same life. Praise his name. But I'll tell you what. He's going to smite and rule over the nations. And what a wine press of blood it's going to be. This battle of Armageddon, that blood is going to flow to the horse's bridle for hundreds of miles. And then there in verse 16, the thigh speaks of promise. When it says that it's written upon his thigh, that vesture, that thigh is an oath. When two used to agree upon something in Old Testament times, they would grab one another underneath the thigh. That was, in a sense, a very vulnerable situation. But what it was that oath. It was a promise. How much more from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's impossible for God to lie. He's promised us in his word. The thigh also speaks of the best part of a sacrifice. I love that. One of the best parts of it all is the righteous judgment. I pray that you're really thrilling in that. You know, it's not just to get back. It's to glorify him. But in that, it's so wonderful of all that nonsense that's going to be destroyed. So now finally, as we close this up, we come to the battle of Armageddon, verses 17 through 19. Let's go ahead and read that. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. Isn't that wonderful how he says that? It's just feeding time. This is our first dinner we're having in our honeymoon. Here we go. You don't think this is going to be the glorious time? Think about that. Man, I think about, like I say, my honeymoon. We were whale watching. We went all over the place and seeing all these fantastic things, enjoying things. How much more so? And that's never going to end, praise God. What a honeymoon that'll never end. But here it is. And so wonderful that this is going down and all of this. But it is to gather yourselves unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat of the flesh of the kings and the flesh of the captains, the flesh of the mighty men, the flesh of the horses and of them that sat upon them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. So here it shows once again, all of this, it's this wickedness that's against the word of God. And you're seeing it so clearly. It's being more manifest every day, all the time. It's not a flesh and blood thing. It's spiritual wickedness in high places. And let me tell you something, that spiritual wickedness did everything to keep him off that cross. Everything to keep him in that grave. But he rose. Hallelujah. And he ascended. And he's up on high at the right hand of the Father. And this is all about to take place. Praise his name. So, I read this and I think, they just don't get it. But they never do, because the devil never does. After seeing all the mighty power, all the mighty hand of God through all of this, they think that they still have a chance. But again, that's just the devil. But know this, this is all for the glory of the Lord. Even now the Lord uses the enemy for our good. I was reading in Nehemiah, God turned the curse into a blessing. I love that. Remember that right here in your heart. God turned the curse into a blessing. Praise the Lord, that's your life. And all the birds will come to eat the flesh of the kings, the captains, the mighty men, and all that the world that believes that are apart from Jesus will be destroyed. All the things it says here, the world's beauty, the world's power, the world's riches will all be obliterated. And this battle, if you just think about how this is done, is just a moment. This slaughter just is like, and it's over. Because read verse 19. They all gathered to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And what happens in verse 20? And the beast was taken, the false prophet that wrought the miracles before him, and which deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped the image. These both were cast into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Boom. Wasn't much of a battle now, was it? Never is. That's right. Really isn't. Victory's been won. We're just going through wondrous, mighty events of glory. Praise God. These things that will evidence the glory of our Lord. And in a blink, God lays it down. In a blink, praise God, it is over. Know that for our trials. I was thinking about that. Know it. Amen? I'd rather believe him in a trial than just wait for it to get over. Amen. This is over before it ever began. Amen. How about your trial? Didn't he say, I am the Lord that delivers out of all your troubles? All your troubles. So I think he already knows that you're going to get you in trouble. You're going to have trouble. But you call upon my name, I deliver. Praise God. Let's believe him. So this is the wrap-up of the tribulation. The Lord will destroy all the armies, all the mighty men that follow the beast. That battle, which will be just a short time. Remember, 200 million will die in that battle. 200 million. Yep. It'll be. Those lives that did not believe will be gathered into hell. And will be waiting there for 1,000 years when they will be judged and then cast into a lake of fire. And you speak of that lake of fire, and as we read there in verse 20, notice who are the first two entrants, the Antichrist and the false prophet. That's a different place than hell. This is the lake of fire. That hell's an awful place. But the lake of fire, that was prepared, once again, remember this, that wasn't prepared and intended for man. That was prepared for those fallen angels. But God knew. And those that would follow the enemy, those, and here's how you follow the enemy. You reject the blood. There's no tweener. There's no, well, I'm getting saved. Nope. You're either saved or you're not. You either believe in the blood or you don't. It's a free gift for all. God said, I would that all men be saved. He's not a respecter of person. He came to save the needy. He came to save those that were despised. He knew, but it was to all. And thank God that he said, not many mighty, not many wise. Because then he would have been a respecter of person. So it is there to all. So we thank God for it. So we see the very first entrance in the lake of fire, the Antichrist, the false prophet. But again, those that are gathered and that are slaughtered on that day, those ones will be in hell. And those ones will be in hell for a 1,000-year period of time. And we'll get to that if the Lord tarry. Until that final wrap-up, when Satan, hell, and all of those things which are a lie, those ones that will stand before the judgment seat, those that were not found written in the Lamb's book of life, that will all be cast into the lake of fire. And it'll be complete at that time. And how fitting, though, that these two go in first, if you think about it, because they were the true embodiment, like never before, of Satan himself. But note this, that it'll just be more torture for Satan. 1,000 years in the bottomless pit, loosed for a while, get some stupid hope, I guess, I don't know what it is, and then thrown into that lake of fire. As it says in verse 21, the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. It's the word. We need the word. Just think. The word, if you think about this, is eternal life. The word is the life. But when the word will also judge, and judge that death. He's all powerful. Praise the Lord. Let's stand and be dismissed.